Drosha for Seder vo Eschana Nachamu Tufshin Samachtes. After Moshe Rabbeinu fervently prays to enter Eretz Yisrael, and his prayers are rejected, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Vayisaber Hashem bi lema'anchem. Simple translation, God was angry with me because of you. It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was shifting the blame for his sin to the Jewish people. There's a medrash that says, Im ebrana batal slachna, v'im slachna batal ebrana. That when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that the sin of the spies should be forgiven, so the Rabbeinu Shalom told him, now, if you want slachna, if you want me to forgive them for the sin of the spies, then you can't go into Eretz Yisrael, then batal ebrana. But if you want to go into Eretz Yisrael, if Ebrana, then Batos Lachna, then the forgiveness for the sin of the spies is abrogated. You have to understand what the connection is between the two. Perhaps the idea is the following. The sin of the spies contained two ideas. One is that they didn't see that the relationship between themselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam was a natural relationship. So too the relationship between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael is a natural relationship, because Yisrael v'Yoraisa v'Kud Shabrichu Chadu, the Jewish people and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah, are all one. That we are one existence. The Ribbono Shel Olam has attached himself kibiyochel to us, and we're attached to him through the Torah, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael, and it's all one entity. One existence. The Jewish people didn't realize that, and they felt that the Ribbono Shel Olam hates them and is separated from them, and that he would not let them conquer Eretz Yisrael and be decimated. And then they made it a second mistake, and they felt that even if God doesn't want them to go to Eretz Yisrael at that point and wants them to stay 40 years in the desert, that they would go with their own power, and with their own power and might, they would be able to function against God's will, not realizing that God's will is what is natural and is the reality in this world. That's why they needed to spend 40 years in the desert to feel that tremendous relationship with God, that everything they have and everything they are comes from Him, and their entire existence depends on Him, and therefore their relationship is one of nature itself and reality. And before they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to complete this 40-year lesson by showing them that when their water supply ran out and Jewish people needed it to be renewed, that the Ribbono Shel Olam would give them water in the most natural way, that it was natural that the whole existence, all of nature, should comply with God's will to want to preserve the Jewish people. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the rock, and the rock would give its waters. When Moshe Rabbeinu would speak Divrei Torah, then entire nature is compatible and does God's will naturally. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, he showed just the opposite, that nature does not comply naturally with God's will, but it has to be coerced. There has to be a change. It's not natural to do God's will. And therefore, the opposite lesson was learned. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, in order to compensate for the lesson that was lost, for that final lesson that would enable them to go into Eretz Yisrael, then the lesson would have to be learned differently. Instead of learning from Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the rock that nature and all of the world complies naturally with God's will, they would learn it from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be punished and not go into Eretz Yisrael. That we see from there that even a Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't comply with God's will, then nature takes its course and Moshe Rabbeinu has to be punished. There's no favoritism. That it's just a natural result. That if you don't do God's will, then there is swift and clear punishment. And therefore, the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, either you don't go into Eretz Yisrael, and then the lesson and the atonement of the sin of the spies is complete, and the Jewish people are forgiven, and they can go into Eretz Yisrael. But if you go into Eretz Yisrael, then the lesson has not been learned, and is not complete, and therefore the Jewish people can't go into Eretz Yisrael. And this is what it means when it says, when they sinned later and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they sinned doubly, and they were stricken doubly, and they were comforted doubly. Shnayim ro'os asuami. The Jewish people sinned doubly. Osio zavu. They first thought it was possible to leave God, to be separated from God, and still to exist. They didn't realize that their existence depended on their connection to God. And secondly, they thought that they could create another reality, create another connection, and get their sustenance and their existence from something else. And they went and dug boros nishborim. They dug cisterns that were broken and had no ability to provide them with what they wanted, but they thought they could. So the sin was a double sin. One was not recognizing that their connection to God was what was real and what was natural, and trying to create another relationship that was totally unreal. And therefore, they were smitten twice. Doubly. One is that it appeared that God abandoned them, Taka, and that their relationship with God was not natural and the ultimate reality and something that had to be. And secondly, the Rabbanu Shalolam punished them, that it appeared like they were in the control of some other powers when they went into Golis. So the first thing was that God hid his face from us, and it appeared that our relationship to him was not part of the reality of existence and natural. And secondly, that we could be put under the rule and control of others. And that is the Yontif of Tu B'Av. The Yontif of Tu B'Av showed us that in the midst of the worst Golus, the Rabbanu Shalom didn't abandon us. He's still there for us. And the bodies didn't decompose, and they were able to be buried. And it shows that even in the midst of Golus, still the Rabbanu Shalom is there for us. And we can't be severed from him. It's a natural connection that we have. And the same thing with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is also a yontif, because it shows that even after a person sins, God is still with him. Hashochein itam besoch tumasam. God is with us in churban, God is with us in sin. And that is the comfort that will come doubly. On the one hand, ultimately, God will comfort us and return us to Eretz Israel and so on. But there's a comfort in the Avelus itself, kol ha misaba Yerushalayim zoche v'roi v'simchasa, in the immediate present, he recognizes that God really didn't abandon us. In the midst of the tzara, we see that God is still there. Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam l'hofer brisitam. The Rabbanu Shem was not interested in abandoning us and abrogating his connection, his bond with us. But just the opposite, the Rabbanu Shalom is there even in the midst of the tzara. And the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was in order to maintain his relationship with us. And that's why it's called Chodesh Av, because it reminds us that we have a Father in heaven who cares for us. And therefore, Shabbos Nachamu is a Shabbos of Simcha. Rabbi Yeshua Ibn Shuib says that it has a din like a Simchas Yontif on Shabbos Nachamu. The Beis HaMikdash is not built. But once we understand the Tzara, and we understand that God didn't do it to abandon us, but because his relationship with us is eternal, and therefore he wants to preserve that relationship. So, and that is what the Tzara is all about. So therefore, there's a Simcha immediately in perceiving that and understanding that. And that's why the Aseres HaDibros, are correspond to the Asorah Mamoros, the 10 utterances with which the world were created. They correspond to the Aseres Hadibros. The Asorah Mamoros are disjointed, separate things, but the Aseres Hadibros unite them all under the will of God and give them purpose, and that is the reason, that's the existence itself. The Word of God, will of God, and the physical existence are not only compatible, but they're one and the same. We spoke on Tisha B'Av of the factors that would comprise Ikvas of the Mashiach, of the time right prior to Mashiach coming. And one of those things was Anshei HaGvul Yisovavu Meir Le'ir V'lo Yechunenu. The people of the Gvul, the boundaries, will circulate from city to city, and they'll find no favor. So the Einei Yitzchak, the son of Reb Leib Vilkamir, the Magid of Vilkamir, in his commentary on the Ein Yaakov in Sanhedrin, says Anshei HaGvul means people who understand the idea of boundaries, and they keep normative halacha. They're not machmer, they're not mekel, they keep the halacha. And in that time, before Mashiach comes, there'll be many people who want to be machmer, who try to show themselves to be firmer than thou. And those kind of people will be the people that will be famous and desirable, and the people who just keep halacha and aren't into extra chumras, they will find no favor. We live in a, and that's why it says yirei chet yimasu. People who just fear sin and stay away from doing what's wrong, but don't look for extra chumras, they will be disgusting in the eyes of people. In our time, we have two distortions of halacha. We have people who look for kulas, who feel that the natural flow of life can't exist according to normative halacha. And you therefore have to be lenient and have to bend over backwards to find leniencies, centrist Judaism. And they look for kulas because they feel that normal life is not compatible with halacha, what they consider normal life. There's the opposite also. There are people who feel that you can't live a normal life and just keep halacha, because if you're not machmir or whatever, then normal life will lead you to the wrong things. Both of them make the mistake to think that the normal flow of natural life is incompatible with halacha. Right? Either you have to be mekel or you have to be machmir. But you can't keep normative halacha because it's not compatible with life. And it says that kol hashona halachos b'chol yom muftach lo shuban olava, a person who learns halacha into every day, meaning that the everyday living is halacha, is halichas olam. Torah and life are naturally, compatibly together. Instead, they learn hashona halachos is, they change the halachos in order to make it compatible with life. Either they're machmer or they're mekel. And not that there's no place for chumras and kulas. There are, based on the time, place, personality of a person, needs of a person. Sometimes a person has to be machmer. I mean, medaktik more in mitzvahs, because otherwise he'll slide back. And sometimes a person has to be mekel according to his circumstances, and he has to be lenient based on the circumstances he's in. But those are the yotzei min haklal. Those are the exceptions. But the norm is normative halacha. And therefore, because people don't know what normative halacha is, the people who live the chumras think that that's halacha, and they look down on people who keep halacha, ishkotzim, as abaryonim. And the people who make up the kulas think that that's what halacha is. And they look at people who keep normative halacha like they're chnyoks and fanatics and extremists. So that's the world we live in. But the idea is that there has to be a gvul. The people who stay within the boundaries and live a normal life according to normative halacha see that God's will and the natural world are one and the same, and therefore very compatible. So Mirtz Hashem, if we understand that and we strengthen ourselves to see the connection between God's will and our daily lives, and in every way, every limb, every thought, every action, every speech, we live compatibly with what God's will is, then in Mirtz Hashem we'll be able to see the world that will be Taka, the most ideal natural world, the Viyas Goel Tzedek Meherav Yameinu.